Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is October 30th. It's Thursday night. This is Michael Collins Piper. Just barely with you here this evening, folks. I had some confusion in my schedule, and I was afraid I wasn't going to make it back here in time for the show, but I'm glad I did, because there's quite a few items I'd like to go through with you this evening. Go through with you this evening, that is. So I am a little winded here, rushing in to get to the phone, so forgive me, I'll be recovering in a minute. You know, we fat men are not accustomed to running, but run indeed I did. In any case, we had a good show last night here, ladies and gentlemen, with David Duke. I know many of you were probably horrified to hear David Duke live. You know, he has been painted almost as evil as Adolf Hitler. And it's certainly not politically correct to have David Duke as a guest, but the hell with political correctness. You know, it's interesting. I didn't want to say this on the air last evening with David because it might have just been, I don't know, inappropriate to say it. But, you know, of all the crap that's spread around about David Duke, you know, I have been with David in various places at various times in various groups of people, and spent a lot of time with him privately, both here and abroad. And, you know, he's called such a wicked racist and everything. But I want to tell you something, folks, and I've told my black friends this, who know that David Duke is also a friend of mine, that I have never heard David Duke ever once either use the famous N-word, never once, or never talk disparagingly about blacks or in a negative way. In fact, I've heard some nice people who wouldn't even think of ever voting for David Duke, nice conservatives, and even a few nice liberals talk in more negative terms about black people than I've ever heard David Duke. And that's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care if there's anybody out there who wants to dispute that, but I'm telling you that. And, you know, people, critics will say, oh, well, David Duke would never do it in public because of this or that. Well, David Duke knows me well enough and knows a lot of people well enough that he would feel, if he were going to use language like that, he would feel comfortable in using such language privately to me or with other of my associates that are friends and associates of David's, and I can tell you that he never has. This whole racial issue, it's not one that I get into a lot here on the program. My views on the racial question and the solutions and whatever have evolved considerably over the years. But, you know, I think the bottom line of it is it's foolish to deny that there is racial conflict in this country. And I don't think that either the Democrats or the Republicans really have the real solutions to the problem. And I would say that the problem is, that is, the reason why there is no solution to the problem is because of the predominant Jewish influence in this country, which likes to stir up racial discord. They like to see the blacks fighting the Hispanics, fighting the whites, and vice versa, and inside out and upside down. Because it's the old classic concept of divide and conquer. They've always tried, the organized Jewish interests have always tried to corral the blacks. And you know what? I would have to say that most black people I know, and I know quite a few black people living here in Washington, D.C., they are more cognizant of Jewish power and influence than the average white person in Main Street America or in the countryside. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. All right, stay tuned. More commentary on quite a number of other things.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? question. Do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins, lower blood sugar levels, annihilate acid reflux, lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. GetTheTea.com. It works.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here on this Thursday night. Quite a few things I want to, I want to talk with you about. As many of you know, one of our callers referenced it last evening. I have a new book out called My First Days in the White House. Now, let me read you something from the book. The book is subtitled An Unabashed, No Holds Barred Memoir of the Second American Revolution and Its Aftermath. Now, this is very important. I say, in the opening pages of the book, I say, while there are undoubtedly going to be many people who will suspect this volume is somehow an opening volley in, of all things, a future presidential campaign by yours truly, I hasten to assure you that I will leave that dirty work to others. If you have no sense of humor or no sense of satire, please read no further. My intent with this volume is to not only describe some very real dangers that face America today, but also to put forth a possible scenario as to how those dangers could conceivably, once and for all, be finally brought to a halt. The story outlined here in this political fantasy is an ugly one, but it's one that reflects the very ugly realities of our time. And be certain that if America is to ever recover its republic and its soul, the type of measures taken in the wake of a second American Revolution, as described herein, will be absolutely necessary in order to right the wrongs of the past and bring back America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Reason why I say this, folks, I must tell you, I wrote this book. Actually, I dictated most of the book. I love to say this. I dictated most of the book sitting poolside in California about a year ago, back when I was out in California for the No More Wars for Israel conference. Some very dear friends of mine made their backyard and their pool available to me so that I could, well, relax and also dictate this book. And I must tell you, I wanted to write this book since I first saw Huey Long's book, My First Days in the White House, a little over 30 years ago. This book, I never expected it to be a bestseller. It's not a bestseller. It sold a few copies. I think the people who read it will be entertained by it. But, you know, I did want to stimulate some thinking as well. The book was, as I have to say, it was written, in a sense, for my own entertainment, and I'm the first one to admit that. I have a self-deprecating sense of humor, and I don't take myself too seriously. That's why I have no qualms about putting out a book with the title My First Days in the White House, which, incidentally, has a picture of the burning White House in the background, and my mug right up front. I think that's kind of funny. But in any case, the book is quite a serious book. There's a lot of intentional humor in it. But I did get my first review of the book, and it's from an old friend of mine out in Idaho. I don't think he'll object to me using his name, Franklin J., and he goes by Dinty Moore. And we've been in correspondence for years, and he wrote a very entertaining and interesting review of my book. In the book, I emphasize Christian compassion in resolving this problem of inordinate Jewish and Zionist power in America. And I suspected that a lot of my readers would think I was far too liberal. And indeed, I think Dinty Moore would agree with that. He might agree with Jim from Texas, our Lone Star Jim, that I'm a bit of a Pollyanna. He has written an essay. It's entitled Compassion. That's in quotes. He says, my hero, Michael Collins Piper, world traveler, public speaker, author, has published another courageous book, a quasi-fictional novel titled My First Days in the White House. My hero's new book confirms my 20-year study of evil Jewish wealth and power over America and the world. And my ensuing thoughts about the book are only intended to, quote-unquote, refine the necessary second American Revolution. My hero, that's me, ladies and gentlemen, he's calling me his hero. He says, my hero speaks of Christian compassion. Wouldn't it be more compassionate to expel, to deport all Jews and traitors to an uninhabited African territory? After public exposure of the evil protocols, no Jewish American, good or bad, would be safe from violent revenge. Remove the cause and minimize violence, he says. Anyway, he adds, remember, after many historic Jewish persecutions, quote-unquote, the Jews always continued their evil desire for wealth and power over the goyim, the non-Jews. Jews, he says, have a genius for deceit and deception and are masters in the arts of acting and corrupt finance. Dinty concludes, he says, unlike my hero, I have no compassion whatsoever for the traitorous fork-tongued politicians. Fear of the Jew is a poor excuse for betrayal of country. With rare exception, no contemporary professional politician should be included on our new three branches of government and reduced bureaucracy. That final reference is, the final comment is in reference to the fact that in my first days in the White House, I select Ron Paul as my vice president and name a number of sitting members of Congress to the cabinet. But anyway, I thought that was a very interesting interesting and entertaining review of my book. Well, this subject of the Jewish money, or the money from the stolen money out of Wall Street being channeled to Israeli banks, so it is said, a story that I believe has no found. I shouldn't say this. I believe it's likely to have happened, but the story circulating on the internet has been created out of the whole cloth. I have no doubt about that. And I talked about that here in the show last night, and I got another email from one of our listeners saying that I should read it or hear a radio broadcast from late Dr. William Pierce from 2002 regarding the fleecing of the goyim. He says, Our writer says, nobody with a brain bigger than a golf ball and an IQ above 80 who's wise to the world's number one problem can survey the landscape and take note of the biggest theft in world history and doubt for 2 seconds that these spawns of Satan have their fingerprints all over it. Well, folks, see, again, I wrote this guy back this evening. I have never denied this. I mean, anyone, that's obvious, he makes the point for me. Anyone who has ever read the history of what has been called by others, Jews and non-Jews alike, Jews and people sympathetic to Jews, and Jews and people unsympathetic to Jews as well, they've called it the Jewish problem. Anyone who has read anything about the Jewish problem knows that this concept of money and the fleecing of the goyim has always been, in many respects, at the root of the problem. In fact, the cover of my book, The New Jerusalem, has a beautiful piece of artwork on it illustrating the looting of the Jewish quarter, I believe, in Naples, Italy, which was a center of Jewish financial power. So I deliberately selected that. I was the one who selected that picture, ladies and gentlemen. And as I'm sitting here in my little office, Mark Glenn has been in this office. It is crammed to the gills with three very large bookshelves, with not only books back in the shelves, but stacks of books sitting in front of those books in the shelves, books dealing with Jewish history, written from all points of view. So, please, I didn't just fall off of the watermelon truck coming up from Georgia. My step-grandfather literally came up from Georgia on the back of a watermelon truck, but he was a pretty smart guy. But I didn't just fall off of the watermelon truck, as they say. So for to suggest that I am somehow not cognizant of this, I guess I just can't make my point, and I keep trying to make this point, not only on this matter, but on so many other matters. There are so many phony stories out there that people want to believe, but they're just not true. Now, Bill from Ohio, who's a very smart guy and who knows more than a little about finance, has indicated that, and it's been written about in the Israeli newspapers, that the Israeli stock market has been booming. Well, I don't have any doubt that it is or that it was, but we really don't know for a fact that there is evidence that money from Lehman Brothers was channeled into Israeli banks. Now, if someone can actually show me, well, I'm sure someone will concoct some quote-unquote evidence and, you know, paperwork. But be that as it may, you know, what can I say? I could go on. But I won't. To change the subject to the polls. The polls. Folks, I'm telling you, if you're worried about Barack Obama being elected president, don't worry too much. I still think it's a 50-50 deal, and surprisingly, more and more people I talk to seem to be thinking along the same lines. I could spin all sorts of conspiracy scenarios regarding the subject, but one thing of great interest and relevance appeared today in the Jewish newspaper Forward. Evidently, there's a big Jewish family fight going on at the highest level. I'll talk more about this when we come back. This big fight has to do with the election. Stay tuned. I think you'll find this interesting.
It's a fact.
Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit Lee'sFountainOfYouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth. 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's your Witchfinder General here, Mike Piper, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Well, a number of angles I could go at regarding this next topic of discussion, stimulated by an article I saw in the Jewish Forward. But let me preface it all by saying that, as you well know, if you've ever listened to this show with Mark Glenn and I talking together, or with Mark guest hosting on this show, or any of the broadcasts he's done elsewhere on this network, you know that Mark and I are somewhat considered heretics by many patriots because Mark and I do not distinguish between Judaism and Zionism. We believe that, and I really shouldn't, I hate to speak for Mark in this, but I think I can do this, that Judaism is Zionism and Zionism is Judaism. Now, there is a sect of rabbis at the Neutra Karta movement who say Zionism is not Judaism and Judaism is not Zionism. Well, Mark and I respectfully disagree with those good rabbis. We also reject their devotion to the Talmud. That having been said, I would proceed to say, interesting quote here from one Gerald Krefitz. He's a Jewish-American author who wrote the book Jews and Money, The Myths and the Reality. He says, perhaps it is possible to separate Jewish interests from Israeli interests, but the trick is yet to be turned. What touches Israel touches global Jewry and vice versa. Purists and theoreticians may argue about the separation of church and state, Jews and Israelis, Judaism and Zionism. But in the real world, emphasis on that, folks, the real world, my emphasis, in the real world, the connection is hard, fast, and seemingly indivisible. That's this man's opinion, but I think he is absolutely correct. Well, why do I preface my comments about a story appearing in the foreword with all of this? Well, the story in the foreword is very interesting because it demonstrates that the American Jewish Committee is not as monolithic as a lot of people like to think. What I mean by that is that, you know, well, here's the story. It turns out that the Jewish supporters of Barack Obama and others who are not Jewish but who are hardcore Democrats are howling like hyenas. I really hate to compare these people to hyenas because hyenas are cute little animals. But they are howling like hyenas, trolling like Neanderthals, squealing like stuck pigs, because they perceive that the Conference of Presidents of the major American Jewish organizations, that's an unwieldy title, but it is a very powerful organization, they perceive, these Jewish Democrats perceive the Conference of Presidents of the major American Jewish organizations to be implicitly, or maybe not so implicitly, supporting John McCain. Now, that's very interesting, because what we're saying here, folks, is what we are seeing is that, in fact, these high-level Jewish power brokers, the people who have their hands on the levers of money and power, they are, in fact, backing John McCain. There are many powerful Jewish families and many, many Jews across the country who are supporting Barack Obama, but the problem here is that there, in fact, is a fight within the Jewish community because there are some members of the Jewish community whose vested interests, in their own respect, have to do with Democratic Party politics and Democratic control of the House and the Senate. Now, ultimately, we know, of course, that Jewish money prevails in both major parties, a point that many people were supporting John McCain, but who do not like Jewish power, nonetheless, they are loath to admit that. But needless to say, there is this interesting little family fight going on. You know, it was reflected some years ago when Hillary Clinton was first elected to the Senate as a Democrat, narrowly beating her Republican opponent in the general election. Maybe not so narrowly, but the point is that so many people were saying, oh, the Clintons are in with the Jews. The Jews are backing Hillary Clinton. They're trying to put her in the White House. Well, the fact is that some of the top Jewish fundraisers known in New York for generally supporting liberal Democrats, such as Hillary's senior partner in the Senate, Charles Schumer, these people were backing Hillary's Republican opponent. Now, that's interesting and indicative of a lot of things in a lot of different ways. So the fact is, I think it's very, very clear that the real Jewish power interests, for the most part, would prefer John McCain in the White House as opposed to Barack Obama. We could discuss all that over and over and over again. But, needless to say, the very fact that this is appearing in the Jewish press is, in some respects, a signal to Jewish voters that not all is well in Obamaland as far as many powerful Jewish folks are concerned. So it's just a thought, something I think is of interest and something to be watched, because it is certainly going to play an impact on this general election coming up, one way or the other. All right, you're welcome to call in here at 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, and yes, do fasten your seatbelts. Jim from Texas is aboard, or at least somebody calling himself Jim from Texas. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open-pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Another little item I want to touch on here. I wish I had my research material in front of me, because I have a little file on this and really want to do some writing about it, not extensive writing, an article or so. But it's something I have touched on this program before in passing. And with election season upon us, it's certainly very relevant. And I think it's very interesting and very telling. Now, those of you who are aware of all the symbolism surrounding the intrigue of Jewish power politics are well aware of the symbolism. For example, the invasion of Iraq on the eve of Purim. I mean, the list goes on and on. Mark Glenn and I have talked about this in the show on more than one occasion. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, I do believe that the designation of red and blue states, which began in the year 2000, is part and parcel of all of the mind control and brainwashing and Judaic, Kabbalistic, Talmudic, whatever you want to call it, symbolism that is imposed upon our minds. Imposed upon our minds by the mass media in America. Now, my first conscious memory of watching a presidential election coverage was in 1972. The first time, though, that I was ever really, really following things closely and was cognizant of the Electoral College, I suppose, was in 1976. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that in 1976, 1980, 1984, 1988, 1992, and 1996, all the networks, now I could be wrong about this maybe once, but I don't think I am. I'm 99.999% certain of this, that all of the major networks used blue for the Republicans and red for the Democrats. Likewise, if you go back and look at all the pretty color illustrations, if you go back and look at all the pretty color illustrations of the Electoral College in magazines such as Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report, you will find that in all of those elections I just mentioned, red was the designation for the Democrats and blue for the Republicans. If someone can show me where I'm wrong on this, please do. But I don't think you can find that I'm wrong on it. It's not a major issue, but it is in a respect, because I do remember very distinctly in the year 2000 watching the 2000 election network coverage, and suddenly the Republicans were red and the Democrats were blue. And it was following that election that we began to hear about the red states and the blue states. Now, I actually clipped an interesting article out of, I believe it was out of the Washington Post, the style section, the television, entertainment, gossip section, where you do find a lot of interesting and informative material buried therein. There was an article about this, and I put this article aside in a file, which I have been moving about from office to home to office to briefcase for the last several years. Several years, 7 years, 8 years. But, you know, I got to thinking about it, folks. I think there was a lot of symbolism, deliberate symbolism involved there, because with the election of George W. Bush, we saw Trotskyite communism, old-style Trotskyism in a new mask, ensconced in the White House. And so what we were being told implicitly was that now the Republican Party was the Trotskyite party, the red party, that the distinctions between red and blue, Democrat and Republican and vice versa, were really now thus blurred. Now, if anybody can tell me, if anybody out there wants to challenge that and come in and say, oh, Piper, you're a crazed anti-Semitic pro-Hitler conspiracy theorist, and show me the logical explanation as to why suddenly in the 2000 election, all of the networks abruptly began portraying the Republicans as the Reds and the Democrats as the Blues. A logical reason for that. I mean, now tell me that there's a logical reason that they would just completely abandon all of this tradition and suddenly start doing that as though all the networks did it at the same time. Did the head of NBC call ABC and CBS and say, hey, guys, and then get Fox in on it and CNN and C-SPAN? Did they all of a sudden just call each other up one day and say, hey, let's start calling the Democrats the Blues and the Republicans the Reds? And then all of a sudden all the political commentators fell in sync and started talking about red states and blue states. They never did that before. Prior to the 2000 election, they didn't talk about the blue states as the Republican states and the red states as the Democratic states. And after all, what does the term red generally constitute in American political discussion? Think about that, folks. I mean, if there's anybody out there who has some commentary or thoughts on that, I'd be curious to know what you think, but I guarantee you there is something there. There is something there. There was a conscious political, I would even say theological, decision, because in reality, our Jewish masters of the media do base their decisions on their own corrupt theology, that theology that Thomas Jefferson the author of the Declaration of American Independence, wrote so disparagingly about, calling it a wretched depravity of sentiment, calling Jewish teachings corrupt maxims. Wow. Calling Judaism a depraved religion. That's Thomas Jefferson, folks. Thomas Jefferson, I guarantee you, would be neither a red nor a blue. Well, I've kept Jim from Texas on hold too long. Jim, what say ye?
Mike?
What do you think?
I think that you forced me to speak on the subject you brought up again tonight for about the second or third time in the last few days about there's no proof that all this missing money went to Israel. And
that's
I'd
right.
I'd like to give you a crash course in something called deductive reasoning, that the Federal Reserve is controlled by Jews, the World Bank's controlled by Jews, all the central banks in practically every country in the world, with the exception of three or four, are controlled by Jews. Hundreds of billions of dollars have gone missing. Now, if you, on forfeiture of your life, had to choose a location as to where this money went, and your two choices were Tel Aviv or Inuitok Atoll in the Pacific, which would you choose, Mike?
Well, you know, I wouldn't want to choose, because you know what? The whole international banking system, as you say correctly, is controlled by Jews, so they don't necessarily have to put the stolen money in Israel. It's likely that they would.
Mike, there's one thing you're forgetting.
But Jim, no, but see, here again, this keeps coming back to this point that the story that was put out there, there is absolutely no proof for it. I could stand, Jim, I have written a book, it's over 1,000 pages long, asserting that the Mossad was involved, if not ultimately the orchestrator of, and I do believe that it was both involved and the orchestrator of, the Kennedy assassination. But I'm here to tell you that despite an extraordinary amount of information, which I believe proves the point, and which many, many other people believe proves the point, that doesn't mean that it is the proof. And it's the same thing with this, Jim. Of course, we know, this is what I said, we know that at the center of Jewish intrigue, and that's exactly what it has been for thousands of years, has been money. Jesus Christ himself drove the money changers, the usurers, out of the temple. Jesus Christ was an anti-Jewish revolutionary. He was fighting the international bankers of the day. But
Mike, you're forgetting one thing.
What?
There's only one country in the world that will not extradite financial swindlers to any country under any circumstance. And what country would that be?
Again, that's not strictly true. The Jews have extradited people out of Israel to other countries. But the thing is, we're not talking here about the criminals themselves. We're talking about the actual money. Now, in the case of the savings and loan debacle so many years ago, in which my friend Andrew St. George in the Spotlight provided information regarding the transfer of money from the savings and loans in this country, the money in those cases did not go to Israel directly. In fact, where the money went was to offshore accounts, many in the Caribbean, that the money was held there and transferred in large part to finance Israel's nuclear weapons program. So in that particular case, the money was parked offshore, literally offshore, rather than transferred directly to Israeli banks. So you see, if someone can provide the actual paper trail, and I guarantee you that someone will probably come up with some fancy documents providing a paper trail, but then we'll have to question the validity of those documents. I guarantee you someone will, just like someone has concocted a phony speech by Jim Trafficant and insisting that, well, he did give the speech, but when it was published in the Congressional Record, it was edited. So, you see, and you can't argue the point. I mean, it's just, It just gets very, very circular. But I remain committed to the position that it's just not true. The story itself was made up. Now, obviously, we're in 100% agreement that there is an incredibly strong likelihood that if the money was going to be put in any banks that weren't in the United States, that they would go to Israel. But then again, Jim, the Jews control so many banks in so many places, including Hong Kong, that the money could just as easily be in Hong Kong. And in these days, Jim, in this day of wire transfers and money that really doesn't even exist, it doesn't really matter where the money is, because what counts is who controls the wealth. And they can control the wealth through the Sassoon-controlled banks in Hong Kong. They can control the wealth through Jewish banks in London and Paris and Vienna. You know, I mean, they can control it through Jewish-controlled banks in Latin America. Costa Rica, a lot of people don't know this, Costa Rica is a major financial center which is Jewish-dominated. Likewise, Panama for years. A lot of these Panamanian banks were Jewish-controlled, and not just Jewish-controlled. I'm talking Israeli-controlled. In fact, Jim, I can tell you that there is at least one Swiss bank of which I'm aware. It's a good old-fashioned Swiss bank. Has a I forget exactly what the name of it is, but it's Israeli-controlled. Now, everybody thinks of the Swiss bankers as being Swiss bankers. Well, these Swiss bankers ain't Swiss. So, you know, wherever the money is, it doesn't matter, really, because ultimately it was stolen, and the American people are paying for the swindle.
You're absolutely right. It was stolen. And which greedy bunch of so-and-sos has their claws in it, no matter where?
And there's no argument there. There's absolutely no argument there. But just it comes back to this story about Sarah Palin supposedly being a descendant of Lithuanian Jews. Well, you know, maybe Sarah Palin has Jewish ancestors, but the story about her having her great-grandfather named being Shmuel Shmigel from Lithuania, that story just ain't true. In fact, a lot of people who like Sarah Palin and who don't like Sarah Palin have researched her ancestry and found out that there was no Lithuanian Jews, or Lithuanians for that matter, involved in her ancestry. Yet that story is all over the internet. But it comes back to my basic point that even if Sarah Palin may well have Jewish blood, but the story that proves that she has Jewish blood is made up out of the whole cloth. What's more important when you look at Sarah Palin is that, Jewish blood or not, she is out there promoting the Jewish party line. Just as there was a story out saying that Joe Biden had Jewish blood. Well, Joe Biden's son, I believe, is married to a Jewish girl. But there was a story, again, widely circulating on the internet, that Joe Biden was descended from Iraqi Jews on one side of the family. No truth to it whatsoever, but a lot of my friends circulated the story and said, hey, now Biden is Jewish. And then if you say, well, no, he's not, they say, well, hey, wait, he said, I am a Zionist. Well, that doesn't mean that he has Jewish blood. And the fact that he said, I am a Zionist, does not correlate with the false story that he has Jewish blood coming from Iraqi Jews. I mean, you know, Jim, of course, all that theft of Wall Street, I would be willing to bet you that 99% of the stolen money from these crooked Jewish gangsters on Wall Street, I'd be willing to bet you that you could probably only find maybe 10% of it somehow channeled into the hands of the Goyim, and they would only be the front men for the Jews behind the scenes. But, as I say, it doesn't matter where the money is, because they can control the money from wherever they're sitting with a press of a button. They can move billions of dollars from one bank to another in a heartbeat. I wish they'd move it into one of my accounts in Tel Aviv. I better qualify that and say I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Let me repeat, I am kidding. Please do not spread the word on the internet that Michael Piper says that he has a bank account or accounts in Tel Aviv. I do not, have never had any, will never have any, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, Jim, I think we're in, more in agreement here than disagreement.
Well, we're in kind of in agreement, but to go to your question of whether the Rockefellers had any Jewish ancestry, I defy you to look up a picture of Jay Rockefeller, the senator from West by God, Virginia, and look at a full-face picture and tell me he's not a younger version of Alan Greenspan. Your eyes don't lie, Mike. Even though Bill Clinton... Bill,
you know, that's funny.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Your eyes don't lie. Look up a picture, Mike. You can find them on the internet.
Well, you know, the big question, you know, you could raise the question then, how do you know that Jay Rockefeller is really a Rockefeller? I mean, that's interesting. That's funny. There is a resemblance there. But, you know, I have known, I went to a school that was 40% Jewish. And I want to tell you, I knew a lot of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jews. I knew Jews with red hair and blue eyes. I knew Jews that didn't look like Jews. I look at Eric Hufschmidt and I say, he's got to be a Jew. You know, what's in a Jew or what's in a name? All right, Jim, thanks for your call.
All righty.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You know, it's funny, Jim was talking about how people look. I had two friends over the years who later became acquainted, and part of the reason why they became acquainted is because people used to think they were one and the same. The one guy was half Korean and half American of, Scottish descent. Half Korean and half Scottish. The other guy was part American Indian, black Irish, as in one of the dark-haired Irish, American Indian, black Irish, and German. These two people could have been twin brothers, except the one stood almost a head taller than the other one. And many, many people mistook them over the years for the same person because of the fact that the resemblance was so extraordinary, and there's obviously the very little overlap there. The German blood, obviously, was not displayed, as my German blood is very clearly displayed by German and Dutch blood, which overrides my American Indian heritage. So, you know, you can't always tell by an appearance, but be that as it may, that's just a commentary, neither here nor there. But, you know, like I say, I thought that was kind of a funny point Jim made, though, that Jay Rockefeller does look like Alan Greenspan. There is a resemblance there. Well, we had quite a few callers lined up here. Jim and I talked a little bit longer. I should say I did most of the talking there. I can't blame that one on Jim. I did most of the talking there. But, you know, like I say, it just all comes back to what I think is a necessary commitment to the details. Because we do have so many solid facts on our side. We don't even need to say, you know, Lehman Brothers, AIG, Maurice Greenberg's operation, Jewish banks. It's obvious that we're bailing out these Jewish banks. It's obvious that these are the guys who've been squandering the money. What more evidence do you need? It's right there in front of your face. It's not American Indians who are lobbying for war against Iraq, for war against Iran, I should say. It wasn't American Indians who were pushing who pushed for the war against Iran. I mean, you know, we know who's doing all these things. You know, that we don't need to come up with phony documents saying, oh, it was the Jews, the Jews, as a German friend of mine used to refer to the Jews as. We don't need to come up with documents or phony stories proving that the Jews were the prime proponents of the Iraq War any more than we need to dummy up documents proving that they're the ones who are pushing for war against Iran. It's all there right in front of our faces, ladies and gentlemen. Just so simple. Sometimes it's a thankless task, but it's interesting. Good intellectual exercise for all of us. Hopefully it will make us all think. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a good evening. Expect to be with you here tomorrow night. So in the meantime, sleep well. Thanks for listening in. Apologies to those other callers. We couldn't get up, but you know where we are. We will have the lines open for your usage.
Let me tell you why